I'm tired. We all resonate with that, don't we?
Yes.
Over the past 20, 30 years, they say the average time a British person sleeps has gone down by about 3 hours. It used to be 10. Don't know how anyone slept 10 hours. Then it became 8. Now it's 7. Between 6 and 7 hours a night.
Too much TV.
Well, whatever the reason. Stress. All that. Overwork. Frenetic lifestyle. 24/7. Everything. Whether it started with TV. Started with the best sort of TV. 24/7 news channels.
Yeah.
24/7 shopping, everything is at a click and everything, and now we're just exhausted. And God knew that we'd get exhausted. And so we're going to talk about the day that God gave to, I believe, creation. We'll talk a bit about that. We're going to talk about the Sabbath. And I've got two readings for you, they're both brief. One from the Old Testament, one from the New. The Genesis passage is Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3. And there's a passage from the New Testament that I want to read, just to show the harmony of the Bible on this. So let's hear God's word. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Hear God's word. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he had rested on the seventh day. And on the seventh day, I'm sorry, I'll start again, I've got myself confused, do apologize. Verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. And our second reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 23 to 28. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which was not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him." And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." That is God's word. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that your law is good. And we pray an old prayer. What we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. The Sabbath. We're going to look at creation and the Sabbath. Moses and the Sabbath. And Jesus is our Sabbath. Creation and the Sabbath, Moses and the Sabbath, Jesus is our Sabbath. So creation and the Sabbath. Well, we've just read Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, and we're told that God rested from all his work. Why? First reason is satisfaction. God was not tired. God doesn't get tired. And when it says God finished his work, it's only talking about creation. God doesn't just create, he upholds it. We talked about this. God never stops working, Jesus said. But what he rested from was his work of creation. He'd done it. And he, so to speak, sat back and enjoyed it.
Yeah.
We all know the satisfaction of a job well done. Whether it's your allotment, whether it's a painting or a poem that you've written, and you think, yeah, that's it. Or a model helicopter, some people are into. Yeah, I was going to say, or a clean room. I worked with a bloke, he was a manager, and he said, if I could earn the same money I'm on just for cleaning, I'd do it. Because cleaning, you see the job done. You start with a mess and you see it done, it's done. We all know that satisfaction of a job that's good, that's done well, and that's finished. And that's what God was doing. God was delighting in his work, because that's what God does. He delights in his work. He's all the power, all the grace, all the goodness, all the generosity that he's revealed, that he's demonstrated in the work of creation, in the covenant with Adam and Eve, all of it, he takes delight in. He does it because of satisfaction, not because he was tired. And another reason why he does it is as a pattern to us. As a pattern to us. Work and rest are part of creation. Because we were not created with infinite power. We were not created with an endless supply of energy. Even though, yes, this is before the fall, man, Adam and Eve still depend on God for everything. Indeed, they depend on God more than we do. Because of sin, they depended on the communion. The fellowship with God wasn't broken. And indeed, their first day would have been a Sabbath. They were working from rest. And it was a pattern to us. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 says, be imitators of God as little children. Cycles of work and rest are part of creation. Fortunately and unfortunately, because of our lifestyle in 2022, the fact that the Sabbath is a day of rest is all we hear about. You'll hear people who preach on the Sabbath these days say, right, God had a day of rest at creation. You have a day through the week where you take it off, you do nice things, have a lie-in, watch a few films, read a good book, listen to some music, go for a walk, do all nice things. And I'm not opposed to that. I think that's a good thing to do. But I think that's an application of the Sabbath. It's not the main point of it. I'll tell you the main point in a minute. There are lots of applications of the Sabbath. Holidays are an application of the Sabbath. Prolonged periods of downtime and rest. Workers' rights, I believe, are an application of the Sabbath. Harold Macmillan, when he was Prime Minister, wrote in his diary and said that we needed to protect workers because of the Sabbath laws in the Bible. Harold Macmillan, Conservative Prime Minister in the 1950s and 60s, said that. These are all applications of the Sabbath. Very important ones, ones that we need to stress in this day and age. But what ultimately is the point of the Sabbath? It was a day of rest. But what does it tell us in verse 3? God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Sabbath's a holy day, not just a holiday. It was a day God instituted for his people to take away from the humdrum of life, to rest but also to rest with him. Sinclair Ferguson calls it a weekly Father's Day. It was a day with God. It was a holy day, and that's what holy means. It means set apart for God. You know, there's in the temple there were holy things that were set apart, like a holy altar, a holy table, a holy cup, those sorts of things. There was nothing in it that was any different from a cup that wasn't, but it was set apart for a special use. All of the days belong to God. All of them. All of life is to be lived to God's glory, all of the days. But at creation, I believe, he blessed one of the seven in a special way, and that was his day that his people was to remember him. Now, not everybody agrees with this. I want to show why I believe it was instituted at creation. A lot of people would point, godly, learned Christian people, whose bags I'm not worthy to carry to the airport, would say, no, there's no command in Genesis 2 to Adam. Why do you think God commanded it? God doesn't tell Adam to keep the Sabbath. My response to that is fairly simple. God doesn't tell Adam not to kill his wife. He just creates life. God doesn't tell Adam not to cheat on Eve. He just gives Eve to her. God doesn't tell him not to have other gods. He just gives himself to them. He doesn't tell him not to lie, not to steal, not to covet. He doesn't tell him any of that. We just see through God's creative actions what God's will is. And he creates life, he creates beauty, he creates an environment to be shared, for sufficient food and goodness and all that, for work and for rest, to do your best for each other, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it means, as Martin said last week, to be made in the image of God. So yes, I do believe it was instituted at creation, and indeed it speaks of something far greater than itself. It speaks of a lot of things that are far greater than itself. But the thing I'm going to emphasize here at the moment is it was a sign of the promise of life and rest in God. God, as we'll look in the next chapters, I'm sure you know them, God says, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of life or you'll die. If you obey, you'll have life. You'll have rest, you'll have blessedness forever and ever and ever. And that's what the Sabbath here is pointing to. The rest that we have in God if Adam and Eve kept God's commandments. It is a type of heaven. That's why God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. It was to teach us, yes, that rest is important. And it was to teach us that time with God is important. Creation and the Sabbath. And it's a promise of eternal rest and eternal life. It's a sign of a promise of that. Creation and the Sabbath. Point two, Moses and the Sabbath. After Genesis 2, the Sabbath isn't mentioned till Exodus 16. That's another argument people use to say it wasn't instituted at creation. They say, why did God leave it so long to bring it back? Well, God's will for marriage in Genesis 2 isn't brought back till the time of Christ. It doesn't mean it wasn't God's will for marriage, you know? Lots of things God allows because of human sin. And God reminded Israel in Exodus 16 and then in Exodus 20 when he gave the Ten Commandments that Israel was to spend the day together with him. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, he said. Why? Because I did it at creation. I did it. And that's not the only reason God gives to Israel to keep the Sabbath. The Ten Commandments are listed twice in the Bible, once in Exodus 20 and once in Deuteronomy chapter 5, the fifth book of the Bible. And the reason God gives there is because he rescued Israel from slavery. He says, you keep the Sabbath to remind yourself that I rescued you, that I showed you grace, favor, kindness. I took you to be my people. I saved you. I rescued you. And I love you and I delight in you. And I've given myself to you. That's what Israel was to keep the Sabbath for. It was to remember God the Creator and to remember God the Rescuer. That's what Israel was to do. And it wasn't. The day is the seventh day. That's Friday night to Saturday night. God gave that to Israel. So 52 days of the year they were to stop, give God their attention with their family and with their people. Interestingly, there were other Sabbaths in the Old Testament, in what we call the Old Testament, what Moses written about in the law. The Day of Atonement was a Sabbath. No work was to be done, and there was to be a holy gathering. That's what you hear whenever you hear the word Sabbath. The first and last day of Passover, the first and last day of the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Trumpets, all of them were Sabbath. They were days when Israel must stop and remember God. And everyone must do it. The children, even the slaves, had to have these days off, even if they weren't Jewish. Even if they weren't Jewish. It says the foreigner in your gates, they need a day off too. Treat them properly, God says. And God takes his day very seriously. Just think about it. Think of the Ten Commandments. He tells Israel, remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Keep it with me. It's my covenant with you. And he puts that in a list of commands with don't have any other gods. Don't kill. Honor your parents, don't steal, don't lie. That's how important it is to God. So important, there's a famous passage in Numbers 15, verses 32 to 36, that atheists, Richard Dawkins always used to quote it when he was, you know, in his ascendancy, criticizing religion. Look at this God you worship. Someone gathered sticks on the Sabbath and he was stoned. That's the God you worship. And to us today, we do think, well, that is a bit harsh. But remember, it's the God who gives the command that's being dishonored. And second of all, you could relate, anyone could relate to this. God gave Israel a day. Look why he tells Israel to keep the Sabbath. There's a beautiful passage in Isaiah 58, verses 13 to 14. He says this, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, and if you honor it, not going your own way, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. It was a day to take delight in God. And people were turning away from it. Imagine if you did that. Imagine if you planned a very special day with your loved one. Or a loved one. You told them, you said, you come to my house on Friday. And I'm going to give you so many beautiful things. I'm going to give you my full attention. I've got a lovely meal prepared for you. I'm going to take you to your favorite place. We're going to watch your favorite film. And it's all going to be about you. And then they said, no thanks. I want to sit in my pajamas all day. Thanks though. And just put the phone down on you. How would you feel? Yeah, that's why God gave Israel the Sabbath. He gave it to them so they could delight in him, so they could relish their relationship with him, so they could remember who their God was and who they were and how they should treat each other. And to casually turn aside from God's law, well, God's holy. Point three, Jesus is our Sabbath. Jesus is our Sabbath. In our New Testament reading, we see that in the religion of Jesus' day, the Sabbath has been hijacked and it's been made a burden. You know, a lot of the healings that take place on the Sabbath, and people, the religious leaders, kicked off with Jesus about it. It wasn't the law, the Bible they were breaking. It was the laws that were imposed on it that Jesus was breaking. And Jesus does something beautiful. He rescues the Sabbath and he fulfills the Sabbath. He fulfills it. How does he fulfill it? He gives us rest. He passes the test that Adam failed. So he can enter the eternal rest that the Sabbath spoke of in glory. He's raised from the dead. He goes, he's ascended into heaven. He's crowned with glory and honor. He passed the test for Adam, where Israel, where all of us fail. So in him we have rest. And what's his call? Which I was going to quote at the start of the service. What does he say? Come to me, all who travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus gives us rest. He is our Sabbath rest. He is the one. We don't have to earn God's favor. We can't. But he achieves it for us. We are accepted, we are beloved, we are delighted in. And then we're glorified with him forever. And then in the New Testament, something extraordinary happens. The Sabbath disappears. The Sabbath, as I've defined it, Friday night to Saturday night, it goes. It goes. So when your Seventh-day Adventist friends, if you have any, say, why do you worship on Sunday? The Saturday is God's holy day, it says in the Bible. Yeah, it does in some verses, yeah. Wouldn't dispute that. But in the New Testament, Paul, when he's dealing with conflict in church, over the Jewish holy days, he says one man keeps one day special, another man regards every day as the same. Let each be persuaded in their own mind. In Colossians 2:16, he says, let no one judge you concerning meat or drink, a new moon, holy days, or the Sabbath days. These were a shadow of the good things to come, but the substance is Christ. Colossians 2:16 and 17, actually. And in Galatians 4, he's actually more forceful. He says, what are you doing? Why are you keeping the Jewish holy days? Christ's come and fulfilled them. They've gone. What are you doing? It's like when you do that, you're saying you wished Christ hadn't come. Jesus is our rest. Jesus is our Sabbath. Jesus is the one who comes and then the old passes away. Jesus is our Sabbath. That is, we don't, because we're living 2,000 years after Christ, we sort of take it for granted, but it's shocking. The people who wrote the New Testament, apart from Luke, they were Jewish. Luke was probably a convert to Judaism, but he was born non-Jewish. Imagine that. A day your life has revolved around, your entire life, You just say, don't bother with it anymore. It's gone. It's gone.
Hasn't your philosophy
then? Sorry. Just 1 second. You can ask questions in a minute. I haven't finished. Now, most sermons on the Sabbath today stop here. But I'm not going to. Sermons on the Sabbath about 150 years ago talked about something else. Because in the New Testament, the Jewish Sabbaths disappear. But a new day comes along. And this is point 4 that I didn't tell you about at the start. Usually I give some applications now, but we have a point 4, the Sabbath and the Lord's Day. In the New Testament, the first day of the week takes on an eminence that wasn't there before. Why is that? Why is that? I mean, look at what happens. The church starts to gather on the first day of the week in Acts. Paul tells the Christians to gather on the first day of the week and collect alms, their gifts, your collections, what we have a box for there, to put money in to help churches. The church gathers, they teach, they instruct, they break bread, the Lord's Supper, they have fellowship meals on the first day of the week. And so significant the first day of the week becomes, it gets a name. Revelation chapter 1 verse 10, it's the Lord's Day. That was a name for the Sabbath in the Old Testament. Do you remember Isaiah 53? God says, that's my day. The apostles in the New Testament say, that's not God's day anymore. This is God's day. The first day of the week, Sunday we call it. Why is that? Well, we know why. It's the day Christ rose from the dead. Like the Sabbath, it's a day when we remember creation and redemption. We remember that on this day, God said, let there be light. So God began creation. On this day, Christ rose from the dead. So God began new creation. On this day in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came down, baptized the church. That was the first day of the week. And then Christians begin to gather. And then they begin to collect alms. And as I say, so significant the day becomes, they give it, and Jewish people gives a different day a name for the Sabbath. That's how special the first day of the week became. And those verses that I quoted, sometimes when you talk about Sunday being special and the Lord's Day being special, godly Christians will quote those verses I mentioned that say it doesn't matter what day you keep. Those verses are talking about the Jewish Sabbaths. The Lord's Day isn't a shadow of Christ's work that's fulfilled and disappeared. It's something Christ gives us after he's raised from the dead. It's a bit like I consider it like the Passover and the Lord's Supper. Passover, the lamb is sacrificed. Christ brings it to an end. We don't keep Passover anymore. But on the last Passover, he gives the disciples a meal. The bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, or communion. Benjamin Warfield puts it beautifully. That first Easter weekend, Christ took the Sabbath into the grave and came out with the Lord's Day. The old had passed away, and now the new had come. And this too, like the Sabbath, is a pointer to heaven, the eternal rest. The French Protestants in the 1600s used to call their churches little heavens before they got massacred and drove out of France. Because in heaven, we'll be doing this, but much better. We'll be free from sin, free from sickness, free from pain, and we'll gaze on the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Yes, we do that now through the word and through the sacraments, but we'll do that more fully in heaven, which is the eternal Sabbath, the eternal Lord's Day. Now, you might be getting a bit nervous now, because you might be thinking, is he going to give me a list of rules? No. I was listening to a sermon on the Lord's Day several years ago, and I'm going to just gently say what the preacher gently said. If Sunday is the Lord's... this is the question you have to ask yourself. I believe we should ask ourselves. If Sunday is the Lord's Day, what should we do on Sundays? You don't need a list when you ask that question. But I don't want to bring anyone under false condemnation either. I don't remember the English Christian Sunday. I'm 38. The English Christian Sundays are gone. It went about 30 years ago, John Major's Conservative government passed laws that liberalised Sunday trading. It was a sacred cow of post-Christian Britain. Prime Ministers, Labour and Tory didn't dare touch it. Trade unions stopped the Labour Party. Even Maggie tried and the Tories stopped her. But it's gone. By the 1990s, Britain had changed too much. Society had changed, hadn't it? So I'm not going to give you a long list of do's and don'ts. I'm not going to bring you under false condemnation because we have to work. People had to work before that. Emergency services, all that. We all have commitments that sometimes drag us away from church. But I would gently say, if Sunday is the Lord's Day, which I believe it is, and if God gave his people a day to delight in him, what should you do on Sunday? And that's for you to work out for yourselves. So there are my applications. Delight in Christ, the risen Christ, on his day. Delight in him every day, but especially on his day. Come to SVC, even if you don't feel like it. I remember Uncle Eric saying, about 3 o'clock on Sundays, I always think, I don't want to go. Yeah, I have that problem too, because tomorrow's Monday. And, you know, that's life. And we're in a battle. But God has given us the privilege of fellowshipping with him and with each other, together, on his day. Remembering that Christ is risen, remembering that the Spirit came, remembering that we're going to glory because we're in Christ. And yes, take time to rest through the week. Take time to do nice things that you enjoy. If there's anything from this passage, I've learned a lot going through this. Martin taught me a lot on the train on Monday when I got around to reading it, and reading and learning, it's taught me that we should enjoy creation. So yeah, through the week, have times of rest and space if you can. Not all of you can. Some of you, single mothers, working every hour God sends, and you still can't get to the end of the month. But we're here for you. That's what I mean. I don't want to bring anybody under false condemnation. Please don't think I'm doing that. But we must take care of ourselves, and we should always, but especially on his day, rejoice in the risen Christ, who is the one who we will gaze on. He is our Sabbath. He is the true image of God. He is the one who created all things. He is the one who upholds them by the word of his power. He is the one who gifts us all this in creation and gave us more in salvation. He is the one. He is our eternal Sabbath. He is our joy and crown. He is our delight. He is the one we gaze on, fix our eyes on, and run the waist looking towards. And we're going to hear more about him as we go through Genesis 1 to 11, because it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are not like Pharaoh, a hard taskmaster, that you give your people commands to look after each other, to take time off, to take time to be with you. And we do thank you, O Lord, for your kindness and compassion. And we do pray that each Lord's Day we'd remember that you are merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and that you showed your mercy and kindness in giving us Jesus, who gives us rest, who gives us forgiveness of sins, who gives us a new beginning every day, and who will take us into glory to be with himself. This is his day. We thank you, O Lord, and we pray that we would run the race, keeping our eyes fixed on him in the days ahead. Thank you, O Lord. I thank them, but thank you, O Lord, for this beautiful congregation. Bless them this week. May they go in the knowledge of your love, of your kindness, and may they get ready for the next Lord's Day when we'll be thinking about eternity, which is what we're made for. In Jesus' name.